Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin', my nigga? It's PSA Podcast. Salutations to all, first off, man. Let me get the bro right in here, man. We're going to talk our shit. Fam, what's good, my G?
Salute, my G. What's good?
Man, let's get right into it, my brother. NBA talk, my guy. My nigga. Let's start off with my Knicks, man. Let's start off with my Knicks.
Hello.
So we started off with my Knicks off the
understand
of the show.
Listen,
we got to put some goddamn respect on Porzingis' name. Talk to me.
Before we do that, I just need to know your opinion on something very quick, and it's about basketball.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts about LiAngelo Ball in China with the two other youth guys being arrested for shoplifting, and they're facing 3 to 10 years? That seems to be like a major news story. You know, me and you break and cover sports-related topics like this. And I was curious to know, what is your opinion on what went down?
First of all, can I say that we're proud? I was shocked to hear this story, first of all. Here's the thing. They always talk about Lonzo and Melo. It seems like the middle brother always seems to be pushed to the side, because when you put me on to their reality show, I watch it all the time now. And it seems like the burn that he gets on that program, it's not, I don't want to say the boring brother of the bunch, but his story doesn't really give me that oomph feeling. You know what I mean? We know he's going to UCLA. And for him to go to China, of all places, and steal some glasses, like, why put your family in that position when you got a Ferrari, your brother got a Lambo, don't he? Lonzo's in the NBA. And I think, when I was young? Yes, my nigga. I did some crazy shit when I was young. But I wasn't going to put myself in a position to go to China and I'm not co-signing it. But this is what happens when you go to different places, different countries. There's strict rules, my nigga. My cousin, short story, went to Jamaica and burned some trees and thought it was all gravy because he was in Jamaica and got bagged. You know what I mean? This is not good. You said 3 to 10, fam?
That's what he's facing if he's convicted. Do you think this
That big baller brand, they better get a lawyer.
do you think UCLA will sever ties with the Ball family because of this incident?
It wouldn't shock me, especially when you have, I'm sorry to say it, fam, a loudmouth father like LeVar. You might want to separate yourself. I mean, this is the same guy who said that, yo, once Lonzo gets in the league, I'm going to fall back. I'm going to let my young boy, he's a man now, I can't baby him. But then you're telling Luke Walton, your son needs 1 minute in the fourth quarter. It's like, you know, and I'm not putting it on him because he raised his voice to do right. And I'm not going to put it on him while Jello went over there and stole some glasses. That's on him. He has to know better than that. I'm pretty sure his father has had those conversations with those boys to stay on the right path. But, yo, what you think, my nigga? I'm going to hear your take on this.
I don't like this story. If LiAngelo did this, because based on what Stephen A. Smith said this morning on his reporting, that the coaches didn't even talk to the students. They had them separated. So they interviewed all the students, all the basketball players. And after the interview, everybody said they ended up arresting LiAngelo and two other players. So basically it was the own student people or the basketball players who basically said, this is what happened. So, I know people want to say he's young and stupid when my man, you're driving a Ferrari. You have the national spotlight on you. And there's nothing appealing or alluring. There's nothing you can get in life that's iller than your Ferrari you have. So there's no justification for trying to take some Louis glasses. Like Louis glasses, it can't be that serious. So there's more information that needs to come out. But this story, to me, is a bad look for the Ball brand. And the haters have already come out with their knives on Speak For Yourself. Christine came out hating. You know, Whitlock came out hating. Colin Cowherd came out hating.
But was it hate, though? Was it hate, though, my nigga, that they saying, no, they just pointed out the fact that the young boys out here, you know.
They were attacking LeBron as a father. It was hate. It was hate. Okay? Because
I don't want to attack LeBron.
You got him on something now. You got him on something.
But that's,
you got him on something.
Well, listen, let me ask you a question.
My point is,
you have a daughter in college right now, and I had a daughter going to school. I know you because you and I talk every day, so I know what kind of morals you have as an individual. When you took your daughter to college, you drove your daughter to college, first of all. You drove. I remember talking to you, so I'm driving my daughter to college right now. When you drove her to college, I'm pretty sure you had that conversation with her, like the pros and cons of college and what to not, you know, what try to keep your nose clean. Now, if she decides to do stuff that you had conversation, you and her mother had conversations with her. Isn't it on her right now? Because she's a freshman just like him. When do you be an adult and not put the onus on the parents? I got you to this point.
I understand that. But that's why I'm saying if LeAngelo did this and partook in trying to take some Louis glasses, he has to know how ridiculous this is. This is a stain on him. This is an international story. This ain't no regular story. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is in China right now. This led off envy. This led off the Today Show. This is a big news story. You know what I'm saying? So that was just a sidebar. I just wanted to get your opinion on that. You know what I'm saying? Because you know PSA Podcast, we stay on top of everything.
Facts.
You heard?
Facts. My name. Be real with me. When Melo left the Knicks, what was your initial reaction? Because remember you said on the show, now we got to see if Porzingis is going to wear his big boy pants and see what he does. Have you been impressed
when Melo
with my Knicks without Melo?
I am overwhelmed by how great Porzingis is because I'm someone who fully acknowledges dominance in basketball. And when I see it, I acknowledge it. I don't play the win-loss game. I play the, are you a player on the court and nobody can guard you and you're doing it in dominant fashion? Porzingis is playing, him and the Greek Freak are playing as two of the most young, exciting, dominant players in the league. Porzingis' potential is scary. The man is averaging 30 and he's still learning how to play the game. That's what makes it scary. Okay? He's learning how to play the game. In last night's game, he had to be sat down by Hornacek. Hornacek had to tell him, yo, calm down, calm down.
Yeah.
You right now. Calm down. Let's just be easy. Because that's the thing. Porzingis now has to come to understand that you can score at will.
Yeah, he's scoring at will.
He has to know when to do it. He has to know when to do it. Because clearly, Hornacek brought him back in. He was like, okay, now you're the closer. This is what you do. I'm really impressed with Porzingis to the point where I've gone on record to say I think Porzingis can and will lead the NBA in scoring. And if he doesn't, it's because the Greek Freak is going to just be maniacal with no jump shot.
Nah, I gotta agree with what you just said. I gotta agree with, as much as Porzingis is my guy and I love the Knicks, I think the Greek Freak has a better chance of leading the NBA in scoring than Porzingis because after a while, Sean, you know how this league is, man. They're going to try to figure Porzingis out. The double teams are going to come at him. And do I have faith in Tim Hardaway Jr., Cantor, McDermott, Courtney Lee, Lance Thomas, and the rest of these guys without him on the court? No. But I did say this before when Melo bounced. The ball movement is going to be better. Guys are going to be more up to play, and I'm seeing that right now. Now, fast forward to these niggas, man. Do people know what's going on with Oklahoma City Thunder right now, B? Are niggas understanding that these niggas, your man, Hoodie Melo, Westbrook, who you ride with, I know you respect Paul George, but I don't think you're a big diehard Paul George fan like that. My nigga, they're 0-5 against the Western Conference, my nigga. 0-5. They have not beat a team in the Western Conference, do you have any concerns, even though it's early, still early, it's early November, but to be 0-5 in your conference, that's kind of wild.
I have no concerns. I have no concerns. That's how I'm going to answer that question. I have no concerns.
That's ridiculous.
You asked me, you said, do I have any concerns that they're 0-5 against the Western Conference? I have zero concerns. Zero. No concerns whatsoever.
How could you not have concerns, fam?
How? There's nothing to have concerns about. I'm just telling you, I don't have concerns. Two of the games they lost by 1 point, last-second shot. Another game they lost because Melo got thrown out. They lost last night because Paul George went 4-for-16. You're going to lose games like that. They actually only have two legitimate losses.
They lost to the Sacramento Kings. Come on, man.
And wait a minute.
Westbrook last year is not losing to the Sacramento Kings, my nigga.
They lost to the Sacramento Kings, and just like Cleveland Cavaliers lost to the Atlanta Hawks, and the Atlanta Hawks had one win. Are you saying that loss to the Atlanta Hawks means that the Cleveland Cavaliers, are you concerned with Cleveland? Are you concerned if Cleveland's going to go?
I have a little concern with Cleveland, yes.
Oh, okay, then I have a little concern with OKC. I have a little concern, yes. That's how I answer that question.
Speaking of LeBron James, they played the Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks last night. LeBron, yo, for all the talk that you like to do, first of all, let me just say this. Nick Wright, my nigga. Nick Wright. You have to stop this bullshit, my nigga. I understand you running with this LeBron shit. Like I said on Twitter earlier, I don't know if you're expecting Maverick Carter or one of these dudes. So they granted you an interview after LeBron's career over. They granted you the interview. It's not going to be Shannon Sharpe. It's not going to be Rachel Nichols, Brian Windhorst. It's going to be you because the way you came for LeBron James, I like LeBron like the next guy. But, my nigga, you sat up there talking about he's better than Michael Jordan. Like, the first question I have to ask, Sean, is these niggas got to start getting ID'd. So we need to know niggas' ages when they talking sports on a national platform. First of all, that is blasphemy. I don't have LeBron, and I'm not, because I know y'all going to say, oh, there go three and Sean being the old heads. Nigga, I've watched Michael Jordan, and I've watched LeBron James. I just don't, you want to say LeBron has an all-around game better than Jordan? Fine, but that doesn't make him better than Michael Jordan. Let me just be clear on that first, man. What is your take on Nick Wright with his LeBron James pajamas, my nigga?
Nick Wright is rewriting NBA history, and he's rewriting it in a dangerous way. We live in an age where false information is out there, and you don't need fake news. Let me be very clear when I tell you guys this, since people want to be like, you and three y'all old heads, y'all hating. YouTube videos cannot convey how great Michael Jordan was as a player. You guys are watching the YouTube, and y'all watching his 60s, and y'all watching it. Y'all don't understand how it is in real time where you could clothesline Michael Jordan every time he drives to the basket and you don't get thrown out. It's no flagrant. He has to get up and go again, and they grab him, and they throw him down to the ground. He has to get back up, and he has to keep driving. That's the type of shit
Detroit
he has to
Pistons.
Go through. A motherfucker like LeBron James, if you touch him, he couldn't handle someone like Draymond Green without crying. Jordan played when she was so real that my man, listen, LeBron James is great, and he would have been great in any era, and he's an all-time great. But the way Nick Wright is dismissing it, he's saying it in a matter-of-fact way. He's just it's like it's so easy. Everybody knows this. It's insulting. It insults everything me and Dre know and love about basketball.
Yeah, that's I can't do that, man.
Do you guys understand that Jordan's legacy, this is how great Jordan's legacy is. Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, and Charles Barkley do not have rings because of Jordan.
Facts.
There's no great player in the era of LeBron who doesn't have rings.
I'm a Knicks fan, yeah.
they don't, you know, in LeBron's era, you can win championships. He don't stop that.
And Sean, can I say this also, and maybe you can attest to this. I don't fear that other NBA opponents that play LeBron and play Jordan. I think they was a fear to play Mike, man. I don't think there's a fear. Like, niggas don't really fear LeBron like that. Like, they know he's great. But I don't think niggas fear LeBron like they fear Mike, man.
There's absolutely no question they don't fear him. You saw when Golden State won the first time.
Draymond Green doesn't even respect him. Draymond Green, a player who, in Michael Jordan's era, he would not even be close to being an all-star. He'd be laughed at. You know what I'm saying? He was like a Michael. I mean, come on.
So, Nick Wright, you're doing a disservice to say so effortlessly that LeBron is better than Jordan. Is LeBron a better all-around player in what he does?
Yes,
right.
You can clearly make that argument. But here's the thing. Jordan's impact on the game compared to LeBron's impact of I need a closer on my team, Jordan was the closer, and he wanted every shot. If someone took the shot that Jordan wanted to take, he would fight them over it. This is how intense he was. There's no – so me personally, who saw Michael Jordan's entire career, I'm watching LeBron's Hall of Fame career, first ballot, no question career, I'm going with Michael Jordan. That's all. And this is not old school hate. I'm a basketball fanatic. I watched LeBron since high school. I know how great he is. So that's that. Now,
real quick, though, I was going to give breaking news. In the third quarter right now, 80-76, the Boston Celtics over the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers are fighting back. Lonzo Ball Watch, real quick, since it's Lonzo Wednesday, 28 minutes so far, my G, 3-for-9 from the field, 7 points, 5 assists. Yeah, that's what he has.
Those are very pedestrian stats. The question I'm going to ask now is, will he even score 10 points this game? Is he even going to get one more basket? I mean, this passive, non-aggressive play of Lonzo on Lonzo Wednesday, everybody, because that's what ESPN has called it. They called it Lonzo Wednesday. How can you call a game Lonzo Wednesday and he's playing against Kyrie Irving? You understand how ridiculous this is getting with Lonzo Ball now? He's playing against the number one team in the NBA, and they're calling it Lonzo Wednesday. By the way, I'm surprised that they caught up because Boston was blowing them out at first.
Yeah, they was blowing them out, though. They was blowing them out.
Yeah, the fact that they fought back is I'm going to give them props for that.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram is balling out right now. I ain't going to front. He's stepping up right now. Randall's playing a good game.
Brandon
and Clarkson
Ingram.
Also. Yeah.
Is Brandon Ingram that you compare to KD? That Brandon Ingram?
I call him a young KD, yes, because of stature. And, you know, his game. I'm not saying he's on Durant's level yet. But that's a young KD. That's what I call him.
Young KD led the NBA in scoring. That's what young KD did when he was young. He led the NBA in scoring.
Yeah, but let's as I'm saying, he's in training. He's in training to be the KD wide nigga. And obviously, my Knicks tonight, real quick, they lost tonight with Orlando Magic. There was no KP. I'm not making excuses on that. But yeah, real quick, man, to get back to LeBron and the Greek Freak, man.
Yeah.
What you think about Greek Freak? 40 points last night. Jesus.
So let me just say this.
40-9.
If anybody watched the highlights of this game. The Greek Freak was by far the most dominant player on the court.
There you go, short-changing LeBron James again, but go ahead, man.
Come on. How is that short-changing if I say the guy who was 16 for 21 from the field?
Because I know where you're going after this. Go ahead.
There's no way I'm going with it. I'm just saying, how is that short-changing? LeBron is 10 for 20 from the field. And the Greek Freak is 16 for 21 with more dunks, with more blocks, exciting, taking any and everybody with LeBron, J.R. Smith, Crowder, and all of them just looking helpless. I mean,
my nigga, Jabari had 39-8, my nigga. Come on, man. What are we doing, son?
My dude, that's regular LeBron. LeBron is the guy who averaged a triple-double in the finals. LeBron James has always been a great all-around player. I said the word I used was dominant. The Greek.
Yo, let me show you how dominant Greek Freak was. Oh, the nigga had 40 points, my nigga, and did not attempt in an era where if you don't got a 3-point shot, you ain't really popping, so to speak. That nigga did not attempt 1 3-point shot last night.
And that's what dominant.
That's crazy.
Me and that's dominance, man. That's dominance. Did you see the way he was just driving? And if he gets anywhere near the basket, it's a layup or he dunks it.
Yes.
I mean, he's so his length is it's incredible,
LeBron,
man.
LeBron did block him though. Let's keep it real. He blocked LeBron. LeBron blocked him. Wade got a block on him also. You know, LeBron's still that dude, son. He's in his 15th year in the league, my nigga. His legs are not like Greek Freak's legs, man. That's a young boy, man. Come on now.
The Greek Freak is 22 years old, and you just highlighted something that is amazing. He dropped 40 points, and he didn't take a three, and he didn't make a 3-point shot in the era of the three ball.
Well, that's not a shot, also. Let me throw that out there. That's not a shot, but.
Yeah, but he'll take them. It's not like he doesn't take threes. I'm on the Greek Freak bandwagon. I'm on the Greek Freak bandwagon, and I love that I'm on his bandwagon because he's exciting. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
he's like,
real quick, go ahead.
And I'm saying, he even reminds me now when I think about we talking about it. Imagine if Dominique was this tall.
Okay.
What? The way Dominique used to this is what Dominique did. This is what Dominique did. He dunked like this. He was wild with it. All of that.
He's not long. His stature is not long. Like, Greek Freak is long.
Dominique was long,
you know.
He's a taller version of how Dominique, remember,
Dominique had a better jumper, though.
Dominique was one of those guys who could go head up with Jordan, and he could go head up with Bird. You guys can
see
that. And watch young Dominique did. He was a power dunker. Dominique is also someone who actually beat Michael Jordan in a dunk contest, and they jerked him. You can also go to YouTube.
He got jerked. Yeah, Mike, he jerked him. They jerked me.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I just want to say I'm a big fan of the Greek Freak, brother. So Greek Freak and KP, so far they're looking like 1 and 2 in scoring in the NBA.
Yes, they are. My nigga, listen, you've been saying this from the start. Gotta salute you. I mean, I don't think this is breaking news, but my nigga, once again, I keep saying this, but I'm blue in the face. The shit that Anthony Davis and Boogie's doing, Sean, it's to the point, my nigga, I look at the box score, and I'm like, every night I'm trying to see what these niggas is doing. My nigga, Anthony Davis, 37 points, 14 boards. Here's a nugget, my nigga. 14 for 18 from the field, 4 for 5 for 3 points, my nigga. And Boogie's out here doing 32 and 13 and 6 assists, 12 for 25. Yo, these niggas out here, they wilding right now, son. They are wilding right now, man. Like, you just build them on that. You do not trade these niggas, man.
Let me tell you what's crazy. Boogie was 12 for 25. Take away the 10 three-pointers he attempted. And that's 15 shots. Boogie took 10 three-pointers. And the reason why the coach lets him do it, because there's nothing Boogie can't do. He actually can hit three-pointers. He's setting them up. To me, this is so fascinating watching two guys, arguably both in their prime, because I still think AD is not even in his prime yet, which is scary.
No, he's not. He's not.
Prime 27, 28, 29. I consider those 3 years like prime years.
But don't you want Boogie to play inside the post in the paint a little bit more, though? Because he's more of a bruiser than Anthony Davis.
No, I
do sometimes, though. Every time I see him Boogie in the games, my nigga, he's attempting jump shots.
He shot 10 three-pointers, and Boogie shoots a lot.
That's a lot.
But the problem is,
that's a lot of threes, man.
You're right. And conventional wisdom, old-school conventional wisdom, is get in the post and stay there. No, Boogie doesn't have to do that because he can shoot the three. Anthony Davis, I mean, both of these guys are interchangeable. They can destroy you in the post, and they can get you from outside. Anthony Davis hit 3 threes last night.
I don't want nobody getting twisted. They have double-digit rebounds. I'm just saying on the offensive side, I think they can kill a lot of teams in the paint. Like, you're not going to kill Boogie in the post, my nigga. He can shoot a fadeaway. He got spin move. Like, Boogie's good in the paint. I would like to see him in the paint a little more. That's all. I'm not saying I have a problem. He has He's shooting the rock. It is what it is, but I just want to see him playing sophomore.
Here's what's fascinating about them. As far as I'm concerned, they are playing two-man ball and beating teams. They're beating entire rosters with just with both. Because you look at Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday might have a good game. You can't even name the other people on the team, man. And they're just they're so dominant, man, it makes no sense. I can't – honestly, I can't see how they don't fuck with somebody in the playoffs. Because no playoff team can match them at the 4 and 5 spot. None. Not even close. So it's just like this is fascinating to watch. And mind you, they have a winning record. You see, this is the thing. They have a winning
record.
6 and 5.
6 and 5, my nigga. 6 and 5. Above 500.
Right. It's a winning. It's a better record than OKC, and it's a better record than Cleveland.
Okay, if you want to go there.
Right.
All right. Do you think these brothers are – do you think they're going to stay in New Orleans, though? Because I think that's the major question. Like, are they going to stay together? Or are they going to drift off to other pastures? Because everybody starts Adam Davis to Boston talk conversations. I don't know where that conversation even started from, but niggas would just throw anything in the air. But
Anthony Davis
– I would like to see them stay together.
Anthony Davis will get a $200 million extension, and they will be begging him to sign it. Boogie Cousins is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And despite what Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal say, Boogie will be offered a next contract by any and every team. Every team. There will be no team that does not want to give him a max deal. So I know you guys like watching
the
NBA.
Hey, Boogie, my nigga,
Charles
shit ain't working on New Orleans, my nigga. Would love for you to come to the Knicks, boy. I can see you rocking the garden, Boogie. Think about it, my nigga. All you free agents out there, man. You see what's going on in New York? They're just throwing it out there. I think a lot of niggas would love to play with KP. Go ahead.
Right. Now, rookie watch. Any rookie standing out to you, Dre? Any rookie playing grown man?
Malik Monk, because as much as I talk about Nick, I have to highlight Malik Monk. He came into the garden last night with a chip on his shoulder. That nigga was not having it. He thought the Knicks were going to draft him. That didn't happen. And this happens. You have that motivation walking in like, yo, I thought I'd be a Knick. That motherfucker was balling in the first half. Like, Malik Monk was balling. But there's a lot of rookies. I mean, Ben Simmons. I mean, the shit that Ben Simmons is doing right now is fucking ridiculous. They're going to Utah last night. No Joel Embiid. And the shit that Ben Simmons is doing is just... Dog, it's just ridiculous, the shit that he's doing, bro. He just looks so comfortable. It's like a battle rap. It's like when I watch DNA and Big Cannon. DNA looks so comfortable against Big Cannon. And every time I see Ben Simmons, he looks mad comfortable. And Philly, they look like they about to go to the playoffs, and they're a fun team to watch on the strength of Ben Simmons. And Joel Embiid, the thing about you, brother, is you're hurt all the time. So, really, this is Ben Simmons' team, man, because he didn't play because of rest. So, you know what I mean?
I have to co-sign everything you said about Ben Simmons. You see that this game, this guy was made. Like, let's be honest. This is how it was when we watched LeBron in his rookie year. It just seemed easy to him. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you, first of all, he's averaging a double-double easy with, like, 7 assists. He already has 2 triple-doubles.
Yeah, but you're comparing to LeBron James, who came into the league.
Yeah,
my nigga, me and you was watching LeBron high school games,
agreed.
My nigga.
Agreed. Yo, come out. And I'm telling you, I watched LeBron James early. Ben Simmons is like that in terms of how effortless. Look at his passes. You're watching him play live right now in NBA games. My man is effortless with it. He's already the best passer on the team. Facts. Already.
But he's the guard. He's the point guard. He better be. Shit.
My man, I'm just telling you. This is how it was for me personally when I watched LeBron play as a rookie. It's easy for Ben Simmons. I haven't seen Ben Simmons have to adjust. The only thing Ben Simmons is trying to figure out is his jump shot. Am I going to shoot everything in the paint and slowly progress more further out? But the fact that he's averaging 17, 10, and 7 assists, 2 triple-doubles
right.
already,
and we talk about Lonzo Wednesdays, that's a slap in the face to everybody watching NBA basketball. It's a slap in the face.
Yeah, that's a slap in the
face. Dennis Smith Jr. last night brought it to John Wall. I bring it. I'm Lonzo Ball. I'm one of them dudes. He was cutting up Bradley Beal. He was cutting up Otto Porter. He was cutting up John Wall.
Facts.
Yo.
Facts.
And I'm like, yo, this is rookies. Rookies are bringing it. I don't want to hear no. You saw him yesterday. You saw what you saw what a Ben Simmons did yesterday.
Mm.
Come on, man.
Lonzo talk real quick. 89-83, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And the question you asked about 5 minutes ago, is this nigga going to get past 10 points, talking about Lonzo Ball, or even get to 10 points? That'd be a negative, sir. 31 minutes now, 3 from 11 from the field, 7 points, 5 assists. One turnover, though. One thing about Lonzo, he doesn't turn over the ball a lot. And a lot of young rookies at the point guard position, that seems to be a problem, turning over the ball. He doesn't have those issues.
If that's how we're going to judge him now, that he didn't turn the ball over, and we're going to try to find a silver lining.
I'm just trying to highlight, yo, as a guard, he doesn't turn over the rock like that.
When it comes to Lonzo Ball, people are literally pulling stats out of their ass to justify this man. Okay.
Man. Kyrie's not having a great night, though. He's not having a great night either. I got to keep it real. Kyrie only got 15 points, 3 assists.
That's not a good night.
No.
That's not a good night.
Baines is having a great night. Baines got 18 points. He's balling. Mm-hmm.
I will say this. I believe Kyrie will score again. I'm not worried about that. Kyrie could easily end this game with 20-plus. Easily.
That's true. Facts.
Eight minutes left in the quarter.
8 minutes left in the fourth.
Okay. And he has 15. This is a game where he easily ends up with 20-plus. Easily.
Right.
You know, so.
Hold on, I gotta say this too. Tatum left the game early, my nigga. Something about ankle or some shit. I'm worried about my man Tatum's shit. You know, hopefully he's not out for a long period of time. He only played 9 minutes tonight, but you know, it is what it is. Man.
Injuries can destroy teams, man. They already have the one with Gordon Hayward, man. They cannot afford for Tatum to be out, man. They can't. They literally cannot afford for Tatum to be out.
No, they can't. No. I totally agree with that. They can't afford to have Tatum miss any significant time, man, because these niggas are young as hell, B. These niggas are young as hell, man. So, you know, that's what it is, man. Take us home, my G.
PSA Podcast, Hip Hop Appreciation, NBA Sports Talk, the best one-on-one battle rap interviews you're going to get with 3 Letterman. If you want to hear a real, real good in-depth interview about battle rap, 3 Interviews Daylight. Subscribe. Check it out. It's Liddy.
Yes, sir. 1. RBE. I got the pay-per-view. Pearly Gates, man. I'm going to talk about all these battles, but I'm going to do one battle and just highlight one battle that I want to talk about. DNA versus Big Cannon. When this battle was announced on Pearly Gates, the first thing that came to my mind is, damn, how come this battle's never happened? Like, this battle is a battle that should happen. The beginning of URL, grind time era, how come this battle never happened? But, you know, sometimes you have to wait for things to happen. And I interviewed Big Cannon just last week. If all you guys heard of the interview with him, he made it sound like DNA, he was going to watch DNA. He made it sound like DNA's coming in his house. He has the home court advantage. To the point that Cannon told me that I'm going to rhyme first. And that's kind of dicey, man. And if anybody saw this battle, it was very dicey, man. Let's get right into this, man. Round one, Big Cannon. And I'm not going to give all the bars because some people haven't watched it yet, but I'm just going to talk about some of the lines that I liked and some things that I noticed throughout the battle. Round one, Big Cannon. Cannon talked about, once again, this is his house, and DNA will get drug in this shit. Whose house is RBE, y'all? Whose house is RBE? Is it Show Off? Is it Gems? Is it Big K? Is it Red? Is it Daylight? whose house, in y'all opinion, belongs to RBE? Cannon talked about remembering DNA when he battled with a bomb to his chest on Grind Time back in the day. I believe that was against Roan. Tarted Face, DNA Mommy Line, 38 Special, that was cool. The Penny Down the Drain Line was solid. Talked about fucking DNA Girl. That angle didn't really land to me, Cannon. The Playboy, Hugh Hefner line, it was aight. Big Cannon's first round, I thought Cannon's first round was okay. And as I'm listening to him, I'm like, my nigga, this might be beatable, Cannon. Like, it was a solid round. It was okay. It was nothing that really stood out to me. He was like, you're nice. But it was like, DNA's first round, the first thing this nigga DNA says, oh, we freestyling. And I remember interviewing Cannon last week, like I said, and him electing to go first. Oh, man, that's dicey. At least let the coin, yeah, my nigga, at least flip the coin, Big Cannon. You know what I mean? Cannon was rocking a Born Fly hoodie and DNA freestyle about that. The 30 for 30 line was fire. Plain Spade line was cool. The Jazzy Faye line was solid. Nas and Jada line. Nigga DNA standing on the RB platform like he's been there before. Like, if you watch this battle, you would think that this is Big Cannon's first time rhyming on an RB platform instead of DNA. The construction drill and the block line was fire. DNA landed more bars where I was nodding my head compared to Cannon's first round. The JC chest line was fire. Cannon, I have to say, man, you even looked on Cam like, okay, this nigga DNA came here not to play. You know what I mean? DNA said, when he said, I'm a rebuttal, you rebuttal, nigga, at the end of his first round. First round, I got DNA winning the first round. I got DNA winning the first round. Round two, Cannon, rebuttals, DNA gun line. That was fire. The angle Cannon took while Smack Books shine over DNA was dope. That shit was fire. I felt the second round was much more better than Cannon's first. And one thing about DNA, man, this nigga never looks rattled. He just looks composed while his opponent is coming at him. Like I said, even DNA nodded in approval to some of Cannon's lines. The test DNA on site, that was cool. The DNA Adam being RBE, DNA Adam, that line was fire. Cannon's second round was solid. And like I said a minute ago, it was definitely better than his first round. Round two, DNA, rebuttals, talking about Cannon, about Newborn living with DNA instead of DNA living with Newborn. That shit was fire. Like, this is twice DNA sets off his rounds with mean rebuttals. DNA had his own conversation with the congregation. The bifocal contact line, that was a haymaker to me. The teardrop in the same battle. The Tyrese child support line. Fuck you, DNA. You ain't shit, nigga. That was a haymaker. When you niggas hear this Tyrese child support line, haymaker is just one of them lines like, Jesus, man. DNA in small rooms, man. He's dope in small rooms, man. Like, his material, in my opinion, is much more appreciated in small rooms compared to big rooms. Like, DNA looked calm and relaxed when Cannon was rhyming. And when DNA was rhyming, Cannon looked a little bit tight. He looked a little bit uneasy. That Big T, Big Cannon, Big K line, haymaker. DNA did not lose a step. No dry spots. The Ice Cube, Big 3 line, dope. I got DNA clearly winning round two. Round three, Cannon rebuttal the Ice Cube, Big 3 line. He had an angle about Head Ice stepping to DNA. That didn't really land to me. Cannon had too many pauses during his material. Like, he looked like he wasn't. It didn't feel like the same Cannon that I'm used to watching. That ESPN angle about DNA repping over there, holding the culture back, all that shit was fire. Bitches leave the stage after the DNA results. I did like that line. Cannon harped again on DNA being on ESPN a couple times. The Lux Dakota line, that was solid. I thought Big Cannon had an okay round. It was an okay round. DNA stirred around. DNA started talking about their resumes, talked about guerrilla warfare. When a nigga starts saying it's too much for him, like DNA sitting on stage talking about it's too much for him, you know what I mean? And the crowd is in approval with that. The diabetes angle was mean. That shit was mean in my Lux voice. Mean. The diabetic prick line, dope. DNA addressed my son. Listen, I got DNA winning this battle 3-0. No body bag, just 3-0. I thought DNA won every goddamn round. And I heard an interview with DNA on Hip Hop Is Real saying that he heard an interview where Big Cannon was talking kind of crazy. DNA, plug my show next time, my brother, because that's where you heard this at. Neither here nor there, man. Yeah, so DNA kind of used that as motivation also. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times when you people say, oh, bloggers or people that touch on a culture, does it motivate niggas out here? That's bullshit, because obviously it motivated DNA. Because DNA was like, he ain't like all this crazy talk that Big Cannon was doing. And Big Cannon, you was on here talking crazy about DNA last week, my G. I watched this battle 4 times. I never felt, Big Cannon, you won that battle. I never felt you won that battle. And also, you lost to DNA and Charlie Clips. Like, two of them niggas. You know what I mean? I got DNA winning, man. Listen, DNA was dope. As much as people critique DNA and they don't like his lines and they don't be this, that, and the third, whatever y'all niggas feel about DNA, you cannot deny this man. He 3-zip. Once again, 3-zip. I know he has Rum Nitty on Saturday. I know his focus is going to be on that because Rum Nitty's not going to come to play. But we got to give it up to DNA, man. 3-0. Clearly. I'm sorry, Cannon. Clearly you lost 3-0, my G. We got to talk, Cannon. We need to have a conversation with the congregation. One.